Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at HearstRanch.com.
You are listening to You Look Hungry, the New Orleans Sessions. You are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm broadcasting live out of New Orleans, Louisiana, in the Mid-City neighborhood. I'm joined today by Isaac and Amanda Toops at Toops Meadery. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Helen.
How would you describe what you guys are serving up here?
I'd have to say contemporary Cajun, which is kind of a vague term for whatever a Cajun boy with modern ingredients and modern technique wants to do with himself. Established meat-based, protein-based, because I do believe seafood is meat, to let everybody know out there. You can take it for what it's worth. So I do use, while I use a lot of hog, cracklings, riens, pork shoulder, whatnot, I also have some seafood options as well. Pretty much whatever I want.
So I want to back up for a moment. Can you describe how y'all met and what you did before you opened the restaurant?
Yeah, we met. His girlfriend was hitting on me, and I wasn't interested in her. But I really thought her boyfriend was cute, and that was in college, about 13 years ago. And Isaac couldn't figure out what he wanted to do with his life, and I was getting an art degree, which was useless. And he said, well, I'm going to go to New Orleans to cook. And I said, not without me. So we left and came here. And we've been doing it ever since.
Yep.
So, Isaac, you've cooked in a ton of restaurants in New Orleans. Where are the spots that you've been cooking? And how does it feel to finally have your own place?
It feels great to have my own place. But actually, even though I've been in town for about 13 years, I've been in really pretty much one shot for 10 years. So I was at Emeralds Delmonico for the bulk of that. When I first came to New Orleans, it was the first job I took as a low-end fry prep cook and worked my way to the top right before chef. And then I went on to Restaurant Cuvée. That was my first actual chef gig. And after that, I did a couple little sporadic things, opened up a couple places, and finally decided that I was going to work this hard and put this much effort into something, I might as well be doing it for myself.
Absolutely.
And Amanda, you have an amazing wine background. Can you talk a little bit
about
that?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to work with one of the better wine people around, Brian Berkey at Wine Institute New Orleans. And I just got to really, and I managed there for the first 4 years they were open. And I got to really just be around it and absorb all of that for what I could. You know, I was just a sponge for those first 4 years. And did a lot of education things. And education was really an important part of the job there. So. And just like the food world, the wine world can be so snotty, and I just didn't want to bring that here. So, and it wasn't like that there, but as you go out into the world, I think everybody knows who's into food and wine, that it can be so, it's isolationist. You know, it's just like, why are you isolating customers? And I don't want to do that. So when we decided to open this place, we thought that what we would do was make everything approachable. Everything's communal. Everything is supposed to be shared by everyone, from the person who doesn't eat weird stuff, to the person who's, you know, who considers themselves to be a gourmand, right? So my approach to the wine list here was approachable. We got about 40 bottles on the list. We got about 10 by the glass. And the bulk of them are going to be under $40 a bottle, because I would rather you sit here with your girlfriend and drink two bottles of wine than one bottle of wine, you know, and really have a good time and get to enjoy each other's company. And it doesn't need to be an intrusion on your experience. It needs to be a complimentary part of your experience. So that's sort of my take on that. And so we're doing also like pictures of cocktails. Everything is supposed to be just very laid back and very relaxed and with an eye for detail. So me being in a high-end background, I've been in high-end retail, and then the wine shop, and Isaac being in fine dining, that was our approach to this entire escape, would be that it would be very casual but with an eye for detail. So you take that same approach that you do in fine dining, where you're looking at every single thing on the plate, or in wine when you're analyzing every component, and keeping that there but in a very laid-back feel.
So outside of Louisiana, a lot of our listeners have really no understanding of what Cajun cuisine actually is. Can you kind of lay the groundwork for like some of the quintessential Cajun eats?
A lot of the classic Cajun dishes are very simple with good technique. And we do use a lot of pork and a lot of cayenne pepper, admittedly, but most people think that ends there, where that's very untrue. We use a lot of farm to table. We were doing farm to table back when it was that's all you had. So we keep that tradition alive, and everybody cooks in Cajun country. Literally, you know, your daddy cooks outside, mama cooks inside. Everybody peels shrimp. Everybody helps out. And the dishes, while they might be simple in format, they put a lot of love into it because we do live to eat. Eating is communal. Eating is something we do as pastime. We always search for good food and different ways to prepare different things. So it's home-based and it's country-based, but it really is from the heart and try to as much local as possible. I mean, once again, it's all we had.
So I think it's really important, too, that you've kept a lot of, like, the real Cajun basics that are still on the menu, but you're doing them in a way that I think is making them fresh, like your cracklins. You know, he's got cracklins on the menu. He's got boudin on the menu. But he's making all of it by hand, and he's taking some seasonings and some things with outside influence and adding them to traditional things. Like he was talking about yesterday that with his boudin, he adds smoked paprika to his boudin, which is not Cajun in any, you know, sense of the imagination. But he's bringing all of those external forces he's had in his culinary, you know, career so far, and putting those into the simple Cajun food that is here. And I think that's what's adding a little bit of depth to the food right now, instead of just keeping it, you know, we like to call it rustic chic. You know, it's like, it's rustic, but it's chic. I think he does a great job at that.
Yeah, well, it's the best boudin I've had in New Orleans. How would you describe, what is boudin?
Boudin is, traditionally, it's a boiled pork with a boiled pork liver mixed with rice, green onions, and seasonings. Mine, actually, I roast to get more of a deeper and richer flavor to it, and I use duck liver instead. It allows you to use a little bit more to get the creaminess and texture and taste of the liver, but since pork liver is very strong, so you have to lighten up on it, where I actually like that flavor and like that texture. And I use also, like Amanda was saying, use the smoked paprika, which is, you know, if ask any Cajun, he would use that, sure, but it's not something from around here. It's actually, I get it from Spain. And I mix that, and I like to use a little bit of rice, but me and my wife fight daily about how much rice to put in the boudin. She likes a lot, I like a little.
I don't like a lot. I like a moderate amount.
A moderate amount. And besides that, I just use the rest of the techniques. I put a lot of green onions in it. I use good Louisiana jasmine rice. I use just fresh ingredients that I make. I try to put as little processed food as possible. In fact, almost none in my entirety of cooking, especially my boudin.
Yeah.
What do y'all think, I mean, up until you opened, I feel like it's really hard to find good boudin in New Orleans.
Exactly.
You know, why is that? Why do you think that is?
It's so interesting, too, because when we were sort of conceptualizing, or really hard conceptualizing the restaurant over the last year, when you just pass over the bridge, once you get past Baton Rouge into Western Louisiana, it's everywhere. The meat markets are everywhere, and it just stops at that bridge. And we actually did, right after we had the baby, when we took this year off to do this restaurant, we went and did like a boudin tour, and we just drove all over into like these weird, you know, far out meat markets and tried all the boudin and put them next to each other and tried them. They're everywhere, but why isn't it here? I don't know. We really have no idea. And cracklins too, when they're just everywhere, because when you're pumping your gas in Lafayette, you go inside and you get a boudin ball while you're pumping your gas, because they're like 50 cents, you know? And it's just part of the culture there, and it really just hasn't made it this direction, so.
I think it must have been the anti-boudin law in 84.
Yeah, the anti-boudin law.
I'm sorry, once you pass that bridge,
no boudin,
sorry.
You gotta go past Baton Rouge to get it. It's so weird. Why is it so isolated? It's pretty close. I mean, you're 2 hours away.
Yeah, I used to be offended that, man, you can't get boudin and cracklins in New Orleans. What the hell? And now I'm happy because I'm the guy supplying boudin and cracklins in New Orleans.
Well, there's some other people doing it too, but I think you're doing it
better. We're not exclusive. There are a couple of people doing it, but it's not as widespread as it
is. It's really not.
I'm not the only guy doing it.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, where are some of your favorite places in Acadiana for boudin?
I have to say my definitely number one favorite shop is the Best Stop in Scott, Louisiana. It's this little, it's kind of a hole-in-the-wall place, because you go to take the exit and you'll notice that everything, you know, civilization, gas stations, other markets are to the left. You take a right going to the middle of nowhere. You go about a half mile on this curve, and this little red brick building that's, you know, has this, it's a little convenience store and a little butcher shop. They sell cracklins, boudin, shodan, which is a stuffed pig stomach, seasoned rabbits, pork chops, sausages, all kind of stuff, and it's some of the best in South Louisiana, if not all of Louisiana, to be honest with you.
It's packed all the time.
Packed all the time.
All the time. You just get like all the time. You go by, I was reading on their website, they make 1 million pounds of boudin a year. I mean, this is a small shop. It's a small shop, 1 million pounds of boudin.
It's a modified gas station.
It's a modified gas station, yeah. I think it used to have pumps and stuff, but it doesn't anymore. But Isaac grew up right near there, so when he was really developing his boudin recipe over the last year, he spent a lot of time going, does this taste like the best of boudin? You know, because he was looking for that flavor, you know, with his own feel, but he was looking for that intensity of flavor because you just eat it and you're like, damn, that's good, you know? Because I found that the boudin that we've been having in New Orleans was bland. I didn't think it was seasoned enough.
Yeah.
So you worked a long time on your seasoning blend, a really long time.
It was one of those things I did work a long time on. Some of the things on the menu I nailed on the first try, but this was one of the things that I lost some sleep over trying to get this right because I knew it would be one of the hallmark things on the menu.
Yeah. We even sent his dad in to do recon, like at the best of, because, you know, they live right there. And Isaac grew up eating it. His daddy went in there and was like, what you put in your boudin? See if he could get some information from him.
Yeah, the downloads.
Yeah, the down recon.
Sent the ninja.
We sent in the dad.
Well, so Amanda, you're from New Orleans.
Yeah, or right outside, yeah.
Yeah, and Isaac, you're from Rain.
I'm from Rain, which is right outside of Lafayette for everybody who doesn't know how
the frog
where
capital
Rain
of the
is
world.
Frog capital of the world.
There are a lot of frogs there. Huh? Is that an understatement?
It's not a joke. It's not an understatement or an overstatement. We got a lot of frogs.
We got a lot of frogs.
So, you know, in contemporary, you know, Cajun country, if you will, you know, what are some of the old school traditions that are still around? Like, are people still doing boucheries? Like, can you talk a little bit about growing up, some of the things that you think kind of make up what is to be Cajun?
Yeah, there's still a lot of people who raise their own chickens for eggs, and there's still people who raise a couple hogs for slaughter, and there are still boucheries, even though they're a little fewer and far between than they used to be. There's still a lot of shops in around Cajun country that will supply meat for their entire town. So it's not like people still go to the local guy and the local farmers still get local produce. To be Cajun means live off the land. They harvest their own crawfish. They'll go hunting. They'll eat off of that. Sure, you make a stop to get the groceries, get the basics, but there's still a lot of people growing and raising their own food. And that's, I think, it means to be Cajun, still taking food seriously from the heart and putting it on a plate.
You know, and I think loving the land. Cajuns really love their land. They're really, I mean, they are original conservationists, I think, because, you know, they're always about preserving what they have and eating what they have, you know?
Back before it was cool.
Yeah, back before it was cool.
Before it became trendy.
Yeah, I think that they are the original conservationists in Louisiana because they really, you know, revere the land around them. And you can tell whenever they're hunting or fishing or trolling their crawfish ponds or whatever. Like, it really is a sense of pride for them, their landscape. And I think it's been sent down through Isaac and his generation. I mean, his family's been in Louisiana for 300 years. And that's incredible. I mean, for the family to stick around in a certain spot between New Orleans and there, his family's been here for 300 years. And I think it really, it lends a real sense of soul to his food because, for instance, like the duck dish that he has on the menu is a half a duck with brown sugar and thyme roasted turnips. It's exactly what they ate at the camp when they went duck hunting. You duck hunt, and then y'all had the turnips. And that's what I love about that dish. I think it's sweet because it's your soul food, you know? I think that's why the food has been so easy. You know, it's why it came out just kind of right
away. Well, it hadn't been easy.
Well, but you're making it look easy. You're making it look easy because I think it's important that when chefs cook with their soul, and I think Isaac's doing that, so.
Well, that being said, how would you describe New Orleanians? Since New Orleanians maybe aren't
eccentric.
Farming off the land. Yeah.
No, but I think in the same sense, they also have a real sense of place. You know, and I think that that's important, and that lends itself to a really interesting and tight-knit food culture. And I find that everybody in the restaurant business, or most of them, because we have so many friends, are very supportive. They're very like, what are you doing? That's cool. Where are you getting that? That's awesome. You know,
it's
and
a
really,
very communal city.
It is.
And being a New Orleanian, I mean, I've been here 13 years, so I kind of consider myself one now, that there's still a big food culture. I mean, it was an easy transition to come from Cajun boy to here. Sure, there's a lot more different things, and there's wild and crazy people, but I think that's one of the better parts about it. Everybody's kind of eccentric, and, you know, I can bring my Cajun self over here, and everybody's like, hey, cool.
Yeah, they're really open.
Know, everybody's really open to what I'm bringing to the table, so it's I love it.
Which you could say, in a sense, sometimes New Orleans is not open to outside influences in their food, but they have been, they are, I think, with Cajun, because it's close enough, because they identify with gumbo and such and all that, but they don't identify with, like, where can you get good Chinese food here? You can't. I haven't found it. Please somebody tell me. You know, and that kind of stuff where, and I've always said this, and I really believe it, is that nobody outside of New Orleans can do our food, but we can't do anybody else's either. So we do now have some great Italian places, which I'm very excited about, in Dominica and such. But for a long time, we didn't. I didn't think there was even decent Italian food here for a long time. So I think we're starting to be a little more accepting. But, you know, when we traveled around and we've tried New Orleans-style food elsewhere, it just lacks a certain soul that really is here, a real sense of place. And the community really has wrapped their arms around us since we've been open. I mean, it's the neighborhood. We got people here 3 times a week, and I think that says something for support for local restaurants.
We are going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, we've got more from the Toops of Toops Meadery. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Isaac and Amanda Toops of Toops Meadery. And, you know, can y'all describe a little bit about the photographs that are in this space? What's the story behind it?
I love them. And when, you know, I'm the person behind the visual part of the restaurant, because Isaac's just, would rather stay in the kitchen all the time. But we had all of these, you know, his mom is so great about family mementos and family pictures, and she's really wonderful about that kind of stuff and really holds those types of things close. And I just sort of started thinking about it, you know, what is the concept of the restaurant? And that is Isaac's family. When you eat with the Toopses, it's an experience. Like, it is so fun. Everyone's reaching off each other's plates. It's such an experience to eat with them. And from the day that I met them, that was one of my favorite things about the family. So we have all of these pictures from his family, some of them dating back to the 30s. We have a large one in the second dining room, which is Isaac's great-grandmother feeding her chickens. And I just brought them to a place, and I had them blow up. They're printed on metal. So they actually look better than when they were in my hand, you know, from the 1930s picture. I mean, he really cleaned them up, and they printed even better on the metal. So I think it gives you the feel that we're going for. It's like Isaac's heritage, the history, the family, the whole idea behind this food, that you can come in and you can eat a little bit of his soul food, but also you can get a piece of foie gras while you're here, too, and your flip-flops.
And your flip-flops.
Foie gras and your flip-flops. That was awesome. We're going to get T-shirts made with that. Foie gras and your flip-flops.
Also, talk a little bit about some of the things that are on the menu right now. I had the best dish of my life here, lamb neck. Can you describe it and some of the other things?
Lamb neck. Hey, lamb neck is one of those dishes where if I could get people to order it, if I could get them past being scared of eating a neck, then they would know it's probably one of the better things that I ever eat. Like you said, it's really a phenomenal dish. And the neck is literally a lamb neck, because I did have someone ask me what cut of the lamb was the neck. I did the same thing. I giggled a little bit.
The neck.
But you know, it's straight up the neck, and it's actually got a lot of meat on it versus the bone. And it's got a lot of connective tissue and a lot of collagen in it. And it takes about 3 times as long to cook a lamb shank or lamb ossobuco than the neck does, rather than the shank, but you get rewarded with all that melted collagen, all that melted connective tissue makes an even more flavorful dish than those other products. And with the tomatoes, and I just do a really classical French-style braise with tomato, lots of red wine, mirepoix, and herbs, and then just to reduce that jus down, that liquid down to make the sauce with, and with the black-eyed peas and the mint chow chow, it's actually a very simple, uncomplicated dish that kind of reflects my way of cooking, just taking quality ingredients and using proper technique around them and not making it too fussy. No fuss.
No fuss.
Amanda, what's your favorite thing to eat on the menu right now?
Oh my gosh. Besides the lamb neck, I would say that's about the best damn pork chop I've ever eaten. And he's made a lot of pork chops for me, but he's really done something special with it because it's, again, so simple. But you brine it for 2 days before?
Yeah, brown sugar, 2 day brine, with bay leaves.
It's a really good pork chop. I mean, it's just tender all the way through, and it's huge. And then Isaac has done a great job with the dirty rice. That's his Mama Cart's dirty rice. And we've changed recipes a little bit because we got some Cajun boys in the kitchen. We do. When we are advertising for cooks, Isaac was like, you know, especially if you have Cajun background, and we got some. And so this
surprised any work gets done at all, honestly.
Right, I don't know.
A bunch
of Cajuns in the kitchen. I can't believe they're not drunk all the time.
Shooting bull all the time, man.
but one of our online cooks, Corey Leger, he added his twist to the dirty rice, and I think it's just beautiful. And I just love the dish because of its pure simplicity. It's just an amazing double cut pork chop and Mama's dirty rice. And so that's my favorite right now, I would say.
Who comes to eat here? What's the crowd like?
It's younger than I thought it was going to be. It's a little younger than I thought.
Everybody from 3 and 4 blocks around a lot. We get a lot of local crowd.
We really do.
Really helpful.
It's a hip neighborhood. So we're getting the 20s and 30s, I think, is a big bulk of our business. But we're also getting the older crowd. So it is a big mix. But happily and surprising, we have a younger crowd.
When y'all are on your day off, what do you like to eat?
Who's cooking?
Oh, boys.
Yeah, we're like, who's going to cook?
Yeah.
Before the restaurant, I would try and cook on our days off because Isaac, you know, is cooking 89 hours a week. I'm an okay cook. But now that we're both working so many hours, we're sort of like reaching out for, we go out. But if not, then I do simple stuff like, I'm a crock pot girl. A whole chicken with a bag of beans and, like, you know, let it cook for 12 hours.
I cooked last day off.
You did? Oh, you did. We had steak and potatoes, and it was beautiful. It was great. It was so basic and exactly what I wanted, you know. So Isaac does, but I try not to pressure him too much when he's at home. I mean, I know he's tired, and he doesn't want to just stand in the kitchen anymore. But
cooking in the house is much different. You can cook in your underwear with a beer.
Right. Which is typically how he does.
Sorry for the visual.
He's very handsome, I assure you.
And where else do you guys like to eat in New Orleans when you're not here?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we're big restaurant people.
We like simple places. You know, we got a one-year-old, so we like to go places that we can take her. But even before the one-year-old, we like places like Stein's Deli, which is right by the house, and wonderful sandwiches, and Mahoney's. It's a po' boy shop down Magazine.
Love it.
I'm a sandwich type of guy, or I'm a pizza type of guy. We also like to, we haunt Theo's because they have dollar beers and good pizzas.
Yeah, you know, so just try and keep it basic. But, you know, because we did it for a long time, where we ate fine dining a couple times a week. And I just got exhausted by the pomp and circumstance, I guess. I just became exhausted by it. I didn't want to dress up anymore. I didn't want to, like, go and have to use the right fork anymore. And so I think we've kind of brought that concept here. But we also love just a little bit upscale, like Rio Mar is one of my favorite restaurants, and all of Adolfo Garcia's restaurants I think are wonderful because they give you that. You can go there and eat something that's sort of a little bit high-end, but you could be in your shorts. And so I think that's what we look for in restaurants anymore, and there's a lot of amazing ones out there, you know? You never run out of choices in New Orleans.
What's on the horizon for Toop's Meadery?
Well, we actually, today or tomorrow, we are debuting a new lunch menu that's going to be actually just an addition to the regular menu in case somebody wants a meadery board. It's little sandwiches and a little more lunchy stuff, if you will, to make things a little more crowd-pleasing for the lunch crowd, maybe a little getting out a little faster and maybe a little cheaper. And later on, the next thing we want to start doing, I want to get my sausages and products in the stores and in shops. start selling it in bulk, because I've already had people asking me to buy cracklings and boudin sausage by the pound, and while we're not cut out for it right now, that is something that's being called for and something that could be good on for everybody.
I'm interested in branding this adorable Cajun man. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying, getting his sausages and stuff like that into the grocery stores, because I think he's really got a good product. And he's very saleable. He's cute. He's friendly. He talks, you know, he talks really
put
easily.
On a good show, you know.
Yeah, he is. He's very saleable. And I think it's just a product that people want. So, yeah, that's the future, we hope, to get his meat products into grocery.
Well, thank y'all so much
thank
for coming
you.
On the show.
Yes, thank you. You're wonderful.
And the website is
ToopsMeatery.com.
You got to come visit. It's the best food in New Orleans right now, hands
you.
Down.
Thank you.
And I'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.